Welcome in. Parshas Korach. A lot of the parshios in Sefer Bamidbar have a blend of a halachic section and a narrative section. Parshas Korach is one of those which not only has begins with the two, first two thirds or so of the Sedra are narrative or the stories of Korach's rebellion in the aftermath of Parach Mata Aaron. And then the last third are mitzvahs. Not only is it a blend of agada and halacha, if you will, of the stories of the dinim and the mitzvahs, but it's an example of where there's a very clear connection between the two. Korach's revolt, at least overtly, was about the role of Aaron. As Rashi tells us, there was a lot of family politics and ego-driven arrogance. And Korach wanted power. Korach thought that Moshe had just seized it for himself. So Korach had very nice-sounding mottos and slogans. L'maisa, he wanted to be in charge instead. Mi Barosh. Korach, superimposed, projected his own gaiva and his own, character shortcomings onto Moshe as well. He thought, oh, Moshe seized power. I want to seize power. But on many levels, the stress and the episode, the machlokas, is about the nature of bechiras hakohanim. Korach claimed that it was his Moshe just decided on his own to give the kahuna to Aaron, and that's the Parach Mata Aaron episode about that as well. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu is affirming and reaffirming throughout the Sedra that no, the significance of the kohanim is a divine choice. HaKadosh Baruch Hu decide there should be Kohanim, that the Bnei Aaron should be the Kohanim. That's stated and restated not only in the stories, but even the Dinim. Because the majority of the Dinim in the end of the Parsha are Matnas Kahuna. Are the Matnas Kahuna. The Chazal tells there are 24 Matnas Kahuna. They don't all 24 appear in the Parsha, but a number of them do. The Pinyon HaBen and so on and so forth. What's interesting is that the second mitzvah, when the Sefer Chinuch counts the mitzvahs in Parshas Korach, he says there are a total of nine. The second one, here mitzvah Shin Pei Tes, is actually about the interplay of Kohanim and Levim. Korach was a Levi, but he wanted to be a Kohen. And the second mitzvah in the parasha actually is about the interplay of the two roles. This is the halachic parallel to Rav Lachem B'nei Levi. Every Levi has a special role. So the Sefer Chinuch counts. Shlo yaskis asku ha-Levim ba'avodos ha-Kohanim v'lo ha-Kohanim be'esek ha-Levim. We'll take a look at this mitzvah, and we'll see how the Sefer Chinuch deals with it. And if you have some time, maybe we even take a peek at an added layer that the Ralbag adds. So the Sefer Chinuch here, mitzvah Shin Pei Tes 389, an Isur, a law that the Levim cannot do the work of the Kohanim, what Korach was attempting to do, nor can the Kohanim do the work of the Levim. Each member of each group has to do the work that's designated for him. So he says this is a halacha that begins in Parshas Bamidbar and continues in our Sedra and Korach. Psukim tells in Bamidbar Perek Dalet, Ish al avodosove el maso. Each man has his job. Each man has what he carries. The Bnei Gershon are carrying this, and the Bnei Kohanim are carrying that, and the Bnei Kas, right? Well, Lashon HaMania, the notion that there are specific jobs and specific roles to play for different groups, subgroups within Shevet Levi, that concept already appears in Parshas Bamidbar and Perek Dalet, but as a tzivui, it's a lav here. Lashon HaMania, Sheba B'zeh, Hu, Shenem B'Levim. It's the language in this week's parsha, Perek Ches Pasuk Gimel. Achal Klei HaKodesh Al Mizbeach Lo Yikru Levim, should not approach the Klei HaKodesh or the Mizbeach to perform Avodas HaKohanim. It's a Levim warning Levim not to adopt the avod of the Kohanim. But then the other way as well, Achakin Shava Kosev Yidibre El Kohanim. The Torah then turns around and gives you the converse. The speaking of the Kohanim, V'lo Yomusu Gam Heim, Gam Atem. Both groups, Kohanim and Levim, have to avoid the other one's job. Fascinating. Now, what's this all about? What's this all about? What's this all about? So if we move to the Sharashe HaMitzvah, the Mitzvah Shin Pei Tes, so the Chinuch writes as follows. So what's the significance? What's the larger significance? Okay, technical rules, a lot of technical rules in Kachim. What's the larger meaning of saying that the Kohanim to six their job, the Levim to six their job? And I might add, as we've asked ourselves many times throughout the last number of months as we've been learning Sefer HaChinuch, and often looking at the sharashim of mitzvos that halachically speaking don't apply to us in our present circumstance, we often ask ourselves, so what's the takeaway for us? Jews living without a Beis HaMikdash, Jews living in the year 2020, Tav Shin Pei, sharashe HaMitzvah. And as is so often the case, here you have a mitzvah that on a technical on the procedural level, halachically speaking, it doesn't apply bizman hazeh, doesn't apply in chutzar, it doesn't apply without Beis HaMikdash, but the concepts and the themes, the lessons of the mitzvah, have broad application. Sharashe HaMitzvah, what are some of the roots behind this Iser against Kohanim doing the work of Levim or vice versa? Each of these two groups does work which is avoda, which is precious, avoda, which is sacred. And because this is such precious work, the work in Beis HaMikdash, the work of the Kohanim bringing the Karbanos, the work of Levim, chiefly in overseeing the ambiance, in terms of the Shira al HaKarbon, perhaps also in terms of managing the plant, the Sha'arim, and so forth. So the work of the Kohanim, the work of Levim, this is very precious work, very holy work. That's why it's so important to ensure that it doesn't fall prey to Yeyush min Ha'atza min HaShikha. Just sort of throwing in the towel. Losing energy out of a sense of laziness, losing energy out of a sense of just forgetting. This work is too precious to allow it to go stale and blah. And he says, "In safik he called melacha mutelas al shnei adam ayoser." Whenever you have a task that more than one person is tasked with, two or more people are responsible for the same task. Hapshia mitzuya bo yoser mi melacha mutelas al echad levado. Negligence is more common when multiple people are responsible for the same task as opposed to when it's on me. Too many cooks spoil the broth. Too many cooks spoil the broth sometimes means you have two people involved and they're crossing wires. What he's saying is sometimes there are too many people who are responsible, no one actually takes care of it, and the work doesn't get done. If we are supposed to take care of it, so it could be none of us would take care of it, because I'm relying on you, and you're relying on me, and he's relying on her, and she's relying on him, and everyone says someone else is going to take care of it, and Lamai said no one takes care of it. It says batal ha-malachim ibanim, and it ends up not getting done. Zed davar baruch ha-adam, says we all know it. Any thinking person recognizes this. But derech mashal amru, he says Chazal in Bava Basra, have a proverb that they quote, a metaphor. Kidra beishit shutfi lo chamim lo kriro. The pot that's being too many cooks, you know, a pot with different cooks are partnering in this pot, lo chamim lo kriro. It's not going to be hot, it's not going to be cold, it's just going to go blah. It's going to sit out there and go to room temperature because no one's taking care of it. If someone knows that it's on him, there's a sense of responsibility that's lacking when they can always rely on someone else to do it. So that's fascinating. So what Sefer HaChinuch just said to us, his chiddush is, it's not only a psychological reality which is captured by Chazal Negamar Bava Basra, it is, it's also a psychological reality, which is captured by a pasuk in Parshas Korach. So that's the significance of saying, I see you have a hand. The significance, he says, of saying the Kohanim have their job, and Levim have their job. So apparently it's not practical to say every single Kohen has his own job. Although we do get somewhat close, because Mishnayos tell us that there were, Kohanim were divided into 24 Mishmaros, and then each Mishmar was subdivided into 6 Batei Av, 6 subfamilies, and there was a weekly rotation of Mishmaros. So other than Yom Tov, each Mishmar would be on approximately twice a year, once every 24 weeks. Within that week, every day of the week except for Shabbos, a different, you know, subdivision, a different base of the 6 Batei Av that comprised that Mishmar, a different base of was on duty. So you really had, you know, instead of just saying Kohanim should do Avon Beis HaMikdash, it's very specific. It's very specific. That essentially divide into 144 groups. And on any given day, only, you know, one out of those 144 Batei Av, less than 1% of the Kohanim, are on duty any given day. So definitely was a sense of, you know, narrowing the set of who's on duty at a particular time. But he says, in the larger sense, the fact that Kohanim have their job and Levim have their job, he wants to say all of Sheva Levi should share all the jobs. This notion of trying to break down the tasks and make them more specific and assign specific parts of a job, that the Kadosh Baruch Hu delegated, so to speak, different parts of the work of the Beis HaMikdash to different subgroups of Sheva Levi. So that's a statement of how important the work is. So important that we need to take precautions and break it down into parts in a way that we're less worried that, you know, everyone's going to leave it for someone else and no one's going to do it. So it's an expression of the significance of the work in Beis HaMikdash. And it's also a restatement of an idea that we could take to the bank with us. Now, this idea far beyond the Avodah Beis HaMikdash is Avodah in general, to recognize that the importance of thinking about Achrayus and the importance of thinking about who's responsible. You want to get something done? This is important. Who's responsible? And taking responsibility, I would add, for our own Avodah Hashem. And to recognize that as long as I feel that, you know, it's on someone else, practically speaking, I'm less likely to get it done. When I own my Avodas Hashem, when I own my projects, the things that are really important, as he says, if it's Avoda Yakar Mikudeshes, if I own it, I get it done. Yeah, Howie, you had a question. That's an interesting point. So here you have people who are stepping up to get it done. So I would take this as a great question. I think perhaps part of the answer is that the halacha is saying, but we need to manage the system. In other words, right now, so that's great. You know, so on Beis Tamos, some levy popped up and said, I'm volunteering to do the work of the Kohen. We say, fantastic, here we have a volunteer. That's amazing, right? He's taking initiative, he's being proactive. This levy wants to get the work done. In the short term, that's fantastic. I have a volunteer, clearly a very strong sense of responsibility. The problem, I assume, is that if you allow that, once you break the discipline of these people have this job and those people have that job, and you allow the Levi on the second day of Tammuz to do the work of the Kohen, in the short term, that's great. But what's going to happen in a week from now? What's going to happen 24 weeks from now? In other words, over time, I assume that's what he's saying. In the moment, I have a volunteer. If I knew I would always have volunteers, that's one thing. The problem is you don't always have volunteers, but you get Kohanim in the habit of thinking, well, someone else will do it. In the long run, there's not going to that you can't have. There's no substitute for personal responsibility. I think that's part of what the Sefer Chinuch, combined with your question, points to, and this idea of owning my avoda and taking personal responsibility is what this halacha reflects. Let me add just one more layer. I think this idea is already a lot to chew on and a lot to work with and a lot to grow from. Let me add one more layer. Ralbag, also in this week's Sedra, have at home a collection I'm holding in my hand called Sefer Tamei HaMitzvos. A couple of Tamei Chachamim B'nei Brak put together on each of the Tariq Mitzvahs, all the comments of different Rishonim about what the Tamei HaMitzvah is. Sefer Chinuch, plus much more. So in conjunction with the next mitzvah in the Sefer HaChinuch, Shlo Yavod Zar B'Mikdash, that a non-Kohen, a non-Levi cannot do Avos HaMikdash, the next step in expanding Shin Pei Tes, they quote the Rabag, they quote a comment of the Rabag that I think is very relevant. This Rabag is in the To'alios. A chance some of us before Shavuos to learn, and before and after Shavuos, to learn some of the Rabag and Rus. And the Rabag's hallmarks in his Perush on Tanakh is to be incredibly consistent about the comment Chazal make Maseches Megillah, arguably one of the most fundamental Gemaras about methodology for learning Tanakh. Nevuah, the Gemara says, is so the vast majority of Nevuah, the vast majority of Nevi'im, don't make it into Tanakh. Why? Such a slender, tiny fraction of the historical events of the Nevuos, of the Nevi'im, of the 1,000 years of a Jewish Nevuah, such a tiny fraction make it into Tanakh. Why is a majority left out? The Gemara says, here's the rule. Here's the turnkey principle. Nevuah shehutzrel chadaris nichtava, nevuah shelo hutzrel chadaris lo nechtava. The only nevuahs that record in Tanakh were those which had relevance not only for the time, but for all times. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent a Navi to tell the Jews a message that was just relevant for that time. They had to hear it, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent the Navi. But it doesn't make into Tanakh. Only makes into Tanakh if it has eternal relevance. So the Rabag, throughout his Perush on Tanakh, will stop every parak or two and say, okay, so what are the to'alios? What was accomplished in the last couple of prakim? What have we learned? Let's concretize the lessons. The tzorech ledoros. So here, this is at the end of the Perek Yud Ches, a sefer by Midbar. So he has a long list of to'alios. You see here we're up to the to'alos hachamisha asar, the 15 to'alos, and he's not done. He's not done. But he develops the idea here, in talking about this notion of Shlo Yikra of Zar, that a non-Kohen should not do the Avoda, so he say references back what he already discussed earlier at the end of Parashat Tzav. He says there's an additional layer to this, the value of only the Kohanim, only the Levim do their work, and that's the power of specialization. Kasher tunach mishpacha miyuchedes lezos avoda. When you have an assignment of a particular family to a particular aspect of Avodas Hashem, and lachma nita meimehem ne'manim b'derech she'ilehem p'nai b'iyun, combined with the matnas kahuna, which appear, as we mentioned at the beginning, in large part in Parshas Korach, they have p'nai b'iyun. They can specialize. They can spend time seeking to understand what it is that they're doing. Here you have a group of people who are whose focus is seeking human perfection, to perfect themselves as human beings, to perfect themselves as Avdei Hashem. When you have that type of focus, so then you over time come to have a deeper appreciation of the sodos, of the deeper meaning of what this mitzvah is supposed to do. And yeshir b'zeh k'sasim k'sasim, and they have a group, they help each other out and they bring each other forward. So that's another aspect that the psukim are pointing us to. The psukim are pointing us to the importance of taking personal responsibility for our avoda, owning our avoda, and not relying on someone else to do for us. And in addition to the sense of achrayus, also that sense of specialization, that sense of profundity. Not only the responsibility of getting the job done, but the capacity to get the job done deeply, and to appreciate our avos Hashem in a profound way. I leave you with this. These are two of the ideas that I believe the Ramban talks about in his Hasagas on Sefer Mitzvahs, Mitzvahs Asay Hey. When he talks about what does it mean to be Ovid Hashem b'chol lev, wholeheartedly. And a passage that I believe was the source for something that the Ramchal wrote many centuries later in the 1700s, that parallels that in the end of the introduction to Mesilas Yesharim. It talks about what does it mean to be not just do the mitzvahs, but do them wholeheartedly. What does that adverb add? I say talk about several different aspects, and both of them are captured here. Because one aspect is to do it with conviction and to do it with certainty. I'm not, you know, blowing hot and cold. Sometimes I do it, sometimes I don't do it. To do a mitzvah occasionally is far better than to do it not at all. But to do it with conviction and consistency, that's an aspect of doing avos Hashem b'chol lev, wholeheartedly. And another aspect that they speak about is not just doing the mitzvah out of rote or for ulterior motives, but to do the mitzvah profoundly, to appreciate and understand what it is that I'm doing, to do mitzvahs consistently, and to do mitzvahs with my mind in drive. And those are the two of the, again, broad concepts that cut across life and cut across avos Hashem that, you know, we might not have been looking for life lessons that are relevant to us in the world of the avod of the Kohanim and Levim and Beis HaMikdash, but that's part of the beauty of Torah. That any mitzvah can, even if it's halachically not relevant to us in this moment, it can have larger hashkafic meaning that can be relevant to Jews in all contingencies. We should talk be zocha to grow from all these mitzvahs. We should be zocha very soon that these mitzvahs should be, even on a technical halachic level, nogei lemaisa mamash. Abosei yashakoch, thank you so much. Thank you so much for joining.